Blog Talk Radio.
With your hands lifted up, say, say it like this, take the limits off.
TTLO Radio. You can find us right there. If you want to tweet the show again,
Simple, real simple, TTLO Radio. That's where you can find us on Twitter. Go ahead and send us a tweet. We ain't had one. I haven't seen one in a while. I hadn't seen a Twitter, a tweet in so long. My producer sent out a tweet this morning on behalf of the show, and I had the question. I said, who sent this? So sometimes you have to just check some stuff. But, yeah, if you want to tweet the show, TTLO Radio, that's where you can find us on Twitter. I know people still use Twitter. Twitter is still an amazing, amazing way just to send out a quick note to your people. So we're going to get more engaged on Twitter. We're going to get more engaged on the gram. I know we used to have a live broadcast on the gram. We're going to get that back. We're working on getting that back for you all as well. So we're going to do that too. If you want to follow us also on another social media platform, you can do it on Facebook, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO Radio. You can follow us on the on there as well. And then the live stream is up and running. Yeah, the live stream is up and running on Facebook right now, TTLO Radio, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. And if you go there right now, you can see the live stream is up and running. Amen, amen, and amen. That's where you can find all of the things going on with the Taking Limits Off Radio Show. Yeah, yeah. Good stuff, man. Good stuff, good stuff, good stuff. I hope y'all are ready for that. Anyway, man, look, I'm excited. Man, look, my favorite holiday in the whole wide world is about to come up. Huh? My favorite holiday in the whole wide world is about to come up, and that's Christmas. I just want y'all to know that. That's my... Did I say Christmas? Really? That's not what I wanted to say. I'm watching this live when you click and stuff, and I'm seeing Christmas trees. It's actually Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday in the whole wide world. I am excited because Thanksgiving, because that's when you can just be fat for no reason. Huh? So my favorite holiday is coming up. I'm excited about it. Make sure you tune in on Monday, and I'm going to have to work it out with my producer and see if we're going to be able to pull this off. We're going to be able to do a show since I don't have to teach Bible study on Wednesday. I wonder, can we pull a show out on Wednesday, huh? I wonder, can we do it for the vine and bring one back on Wednesday, huh? And do it like we do. But otherwise, make sure you tune in next week, because we're going to give you our rundown.
Yep.
That's me. There you go. We're going to give you the rundown of our taking the limits off do's and don'ts for the Thanksgiving dinner. The do's and don'ts for the Thanksgiving dinner. There's a lot of y'all, man, and some of y'all are first-time listeners and all that good stuff, and we don't want y'all to get in no trouble. We don't want y'all to get in no kind of trouble. So because of that, we want to make sure that y'all got all the right information on how to conduct yourselves on this Thanksgiving holiday. If you're cooking, there are rules for cooking. If you're just a guest, you know you're not supposed to just show up at folks' house empty-handed. Huh? Y'all do know that, right? You're not supposed to show up. You know, bring a bottle of wine. You know, bring a bottle of wine or something, find out who's at the house you're going to, the host. You know, see what the host prefers. The host might prefer a nice Merlot. Or a rose Scotta. Or a sweet red. You never know what they might like, I'm just saying, you just need to be ready, just in case. You need to bring some stuff with you. Don't come empty-handed, And watch this now. Don't be one of these people that bring your own to-go plate. Now, you make this. This is what you ought to do now, Don. If you're gonna bring it, leave it in the car. Don't walk in the door with the to-go plate. But see, we gonna have this whole rules of things for you all. Cause I want y'all to have a good Thanksgiving, and I'm still waiting on my mama. I'm still waiting on my mama to respond about the Thanksgiving, the Thanksgiving nuptials. But the Thanksgiving process, like, is she cooking? Because, it's getting down late to the hour, and I need to know some stuff. Bro need to know what's really going on. I got a good idea that she cooking, but she ain't actually confirmed that she cooking. And if she ain't cooking, that just ain't, That's not That's not a good look. So I'm hoping anyway that she is cooking. So we can really get get some stuff going. So I'm excited about that, man. So y'all get ready for that. We want to talk to you all. Want to hear your Thanksgiving do's and don'ts. And then on Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, we're gonna make sure that we're gonna post pictures of good and bad Thanksgiving meals, because you know some of y'all like to post stuff, and I want to help somebody right now. You know, I know people don't like to wash dishes and stuff, but you know, Thanksgiving food don't look right on the paper plate. Is it just me? I know y'all gonna say, I know my brother Park probably gonna say I'm being bougie or something, but you know, Thanksgiving food just don't look right on the paper plate. Is it just me, or y'all just feel like it's food? You just put it on anything. Like, you know, I'm just used to the big Thanksgiving dinner, and I just expect folks. I just expect folks to make sure they do their stuff right. So let me move this screen though, so I can read some of y'all's comments. Since I'm here by myself, I can pull this screen way over here. See, y'all can see what I see. See, I see all of that. Y'all watching, see eyes, all right. So I need to pull that over there. These 48-year-old eyes is acting real strange right now. But anyway, now I can see. Bless them. So anyway, paper plates are no-go. I'm sorry. I think you got to have real I think you just have to have real, you know, real flatware. You have to be eating on real plates. People want to see, you know, I mean, I'm just saying, first of all, is your food post-worthy? Felicia says just eat it and stop posting everything. Because everybody's food ain't post-worthy if we tell the truth. Tell the truth and shame the devil. Everybody's food ain't post-worthy. You know, like white macaroni and cheese. Like, I don't want to see your beige macaroni. I'm just saying, I ain't going to get into the list today. But, you know, I'm just saying, you know, your runny dressing. We don't want to see that. We're not interested in seeing these items just hopelessly thrown on a paper plate. It's not of God, first of all. There ain't no Holy Ghost in it. So I'm just going to put that out there real quick for y'all. I'm just excited about it. But Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. You know, I'm already looking into seeing if I'm going to get me some of them old people. You know, when I get 50, which is in a couple of years, when I turn 50, I'm going to start buying me some of them pants with the elastic in it just for the holidays. I'm going to start getting me some of them pants with the elastic in it just for the holidays so I can be ready. You know, I ain't got to worry about unbuckling nothing. And you know, because jeans be a little tight in the waist area. You know, I need to make sure I don't need no constrictions when I'm handling my business. I don't need no constrictions. You know, I'm just saying. My brother Pastor Parks is somewhere. Just hoping he's good. He wasn't here on Monday. He had an emergency, so he wasn't here on Monday. So I'm hoping he's good, and we're keeping him in prayer. And then today, my God, let me do this right now. I almost forgot. Been so busy. Doing absolutely nothing. But been so busy today. Is it the Cardinals' birthday today? Are we right about that? Yes, it is. Today is the good Cardinals' birthday today. The good Michael, but let me get it right. Doctor Bernard, Michael Bernard Henderson. It's his birthday today, y'all. The good Cardinals. So y'all make sure y'all wish him. Hit him up on his Facebook page. Y'all hit him up on Facebook, man, and wish the Cardinal a happy birthday today, a happy born day out there. I forgot about that. Tanya, did you know that? We didn't put nothing up on the TCLO stuff or nothing for the good Cardinal. I forgot myself. And then I'm scrolling on Facebook. Y'all excuse me, I'm scrolling and just trying to get all this stuff up so I can start hitting this million invite button. Y'all do me a favor. Make sure y'all share the broadcast out with your people. But man, please do. The good Cardinal is 44. They say he made 44 today. The good Cardinal, Michael Bernard Henderson. So y'all give him a shout out, please, ma'am, please, sir. Do that for your boy. Send out a good birthday blessing to the Cardinal, man. He's, you know, good friend of the show. We just haven't had a chance to get him on yet, and you know, I'm sure he, I don't even know where he is. I think he's out of town again, if I'm mistaken. So, you know, we're looking forward to having him back on the ether waves, as he likes to say. Looking forward to having him back on real soon. So, if y'all do that for your boy, send a shout out to him on his 44th birthday. Amen. Hey, look, so real quick, I'm not going to stay political too long, but you know, some of these races are still going on. The young lady in Georgia, she went ahead and conceded today. The recount was starting, but she didn't have enough votes to trigger a different recount, to trigger a different recount. And because of that, she went ahead and conceded today that there was no way she was going to win. Wonderful concession speech. I got to watch some of it. So a big shout out to her. She ran a good race. Unfortunately, she lives in a state that is still dealing with a whole lot of Jim Crow issues. She lives in a state where the sitting governor at the time tried to, or rather successfully suppressed over, in one reading I read, almost 3 million votes, over 300,000 votes were suppressed. People were erased from the roll. From the voting rolls, which is just in this day and age in 2018. I can't say I'm surprised by it. I can't say I'm surprised by it, but it's just a shame that all of the things we went through with the Voters' Right Act and everything else, that even in 2018, we're still fighting for the right to vote. That in itself is a disgrace, and it's a sad day. It's a very sad day. That we still have to fight for the right that technically being born here gives you. You know, and then they wonder why we keep saying we want them to constantly make sure that they update the Voters' Right Act and continue to do this, because it makes it appear that they want to keep a certain segment of voters down. And the reason I say this, I want to share this with you, because I saw this earlier. And it bothered me to the core when I saw this early. And I want to share it with you real quick. This GOP senator, I want y'all to look up, and y'all should just bombard her with emails and messages. But her name is Senator Cindy Hyde Smith in Mississippi. She's a Republican in Mississippi. These are her words. I'm just going to read exactly what she said. She said, it should be harder for liberal folks to vote. So she says earlier, I'm going to read this article. She says, appeared to endorse voter suppression during the campaign stop this month, saying efforts to undermine voting among liberals at certain colleges would be a great idea. She also said, she said she was joking, at a press conference. She said these words. She said these exact words. She says, talking about another person running for office, if he invited me to a public hanging, I would be on the front row. That's what she said. She made that joke in the midst of an election runoff, that if one of her colleagues invited her to a public hanging, she would be in the front row. She represents the state that is historically known for racism. She represents the state of Mississippi. Mississippi was also the last state. It's the last state to include the Confederate flag as part of its state emblem. And she said these words: if he invited me to a public hanging, I would go. I would sit on the front row. That's what she said. Then she said, there are a lot of liberal folks in other schools who maybe we don't want to vote. She said she can be heard telling a small crowd of young people outside her campaign bus in a video taken on November 3rd and posted online Thursday. Maybe we just want to make it a little more difficult for them to vote. I think that's a great idea. Y'all hear me? That's the crazy part. She literally says that she would be sitting on the front row of a public hanging and that it ought to be harder for certain groups of people to vote. But we're okay with that. We're okay with this thought process, but yet they still trying to tell us that we live in a post-racial society. And we're supposed to believe that. Based on what? When you have people in 2018 still making comments about attending public hangings and making it harder for liberals, people of color, and or minorities to vote. But we're supposed to be okay with that. I just find that it's absolutely disgusting. Again, I'll give you her name. Her name is Cindy Hyde Smith. Unbelievable. And then she made this comment. It's other schools that we should not allow to vote as well. Other schools. What schools is she referring to? What liberal schools is she referring to that should not have the right to vote? What school is she referring to? I'm just curious. Maybe y'all can help me. What school is she referring to? I just think it's reprehensible that this. And the fact that she still has a job. But you're talking about public hangings. You still got a job. But we're talking about public hangings and suppressing vote. And you say it publicly in a joking manner, but you still have a job. And we're okay with that. We're okay with this with this scenario. It doesn't bother us in the slightest. We're not bothered. Oh my God. We're not bothered by the other foolery of this. Huh? Am I being too sensitive on the matter? Is that what it is? Am I being overly sensitive? Because an old white lady in Mississippi is talking about not allowing certain people to vote. Am I being too sensitive? Is that what it is? Somebody help me. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me. Got me thinking I'm talking to myself. I just wonder if in this day and age, how we think this is okay and how this went how this was not allowed in the news. I'm just finding this out. She made these comments a week ago. And this is not hearsay. She's on tape. You can go to the Huffington Post. She's on tape. This is not hearsay. This is real. This is real deal. And she was able to get away with it because she's a white woman in rural Mississippi. And it's okay to say things like that in rural Mississippi. And then you wonder why folks are still mad. And you wonder why black folks are walking around on edge. And you wonder why people are still marching and doing all these things because they want no parts of this foolery. No parts of it whatsoever. But yet it still goes on. It still goes on. I don't know, man. I don't know. I just think it's a shame that this was allowed to happen. And the fact that she's still in office. Because truth be told, she should have been removed immediately. She should have been removed immediately without any question. She should have been asked to step down. She should have been asked to step down. She should have been removed immediately. But I could be being overly sensitive. You know, that's just me. It's very possible. I could be overthinking the process. Maybe I'm overthinking it. Maybe I'm feeling a certain kind of way about the fact that she said what she said. Maybe I'm just over it. And then one little last political piece, last political piece I want to talk about real quick is the CNN lawsuit. You know, Donald Trump kicked out the CNN reporter. He kicked out the CNN reporter and took his hard pass away that wouldn't allow him on the actual grounds in the actual press conferences at the White House. CNN sued, went to court. CNN won today. He got his press pass back. So Donald Trump, no, you don't get to pick who gets to ask you questions. You don't get to pick which reporters are nice to you. So those are the ones you want to do. It doesn't work that way, ma'am, sir. Doesn't work that way. You don't get to do that. But I guess maybe, you know, because he believes he is a king and not an elected president, he believes he can do whatever he wants to do. This is what we're going to do, y'all. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to jump into a little bit more conversation. I want to talk about some local political stuff. We got a mayor's race that's coming up, right? And we're trying to actually book some of the mayoral candidates. I know we're trying to book that. We're trying to get a hold of a young lady. Is that right, Latanya? And we reached out to her, the young lady that's running for mayor, the one that Chance the Rapper endorsed. I know we're trying to get a hold of her to get her on and quite a few of the other serious mayoral candidates. Let me say it that way, the serious mayoral candidates, because as my brother David Rogers said, everybody should be running. Some of y'all should not even be in the contest at all, and all you're going to do is split the vote and probably end up knocking out a more qualified person. But, you know, because literally right now, I think the last document I saw, there were 23 people running for mayor. 23 people running for mayor in the city of Chicago. Unbelievable. But we're going to talk about that a little bit when we get back. I'm going to take a quick break, y'all. Look, hey, just real quick, tomorrow is the day, Praise Party, the EP release for my little sister, LaNasia Tyson. Look, tickets are sold out. VIP tickets are gone. The only tickets I know, my standing is like standing room or something, and those are you can still get $10 tickets, and those are available, and it was $15 at the door if you don't buy them online. But all of the VIP, I've never been to Trinity All Nations Church, so I really don't understand. I don't know the dynamic, don't know what it looks like, but all the tickets are sold out, but it is tomorrow. I'm excited for her. Be ready for that. Her EP release is tomorrow, LaNasia Tyson. Praise Party. The EP release is tomorrow night live. I'm excited for her and her family. That's big things for her. She's just been blowing up. She's been on everybody's videos. She's been on everybody's interviews. And I'm just glad to say she was here on TTLL Radio. And things happen when you visit with us. Amen. But watch this, y'all. I'm going to give y'all some of her joint right now. Praise Party. We're going to listen to this. Have a good time, y'all. And we'll be right back. TTLL. Out. Be right back. Come on, ladies.
Hey, let me tell you what to do when the devil starts bugging you. Just put him where he's meant to be, and that's underneath your feet. You gotta let the devil know. Hey, let's
good way. Pray for his body, join us on with it. So again, that's just tomorrow. That's not just tomorrow. EP release for her single, for her whole project. Actually, I think I heard her say the other day that the project is complete. So now they just got to get some marketing and stuff done. But the project is complete. So maybe we'll hear some. We're going to hear some of those songs on tomorrow. TTLO will be represented in the house tomorrow as well. That's going to be good time. Sorry, my other brothers weren't able to get in and go, but it's going to be a good time in the Lord. Amen. But watch this, y'all. Watch this. I'm excited. Real quick, I was programming the show today, and producer Tanya, you can pop on for a hot second. It's actually kind of huge. I'm going to have to count the days out to see exactly when it is, but y'all know it's going to be a little crazy, right? I know it's going to be a little crazy. Tanya, where you at? You available? Where she at, y'all? Y'all don't know? I don't know either. Anyway, she'll pop on in a minute.
I'm here.
Man, thank you so much. Appreciate you. Watch this. So I was programming the show today, right? You know what I saw? Guess what I saw?
What you thought?
I saw that today is show number 580. So we are 20 shows away from our 600th episode. Huh? 20
Ooh.
Shows. Really? That's what you got.
What? That was awesome. I'm excited. Oh, okay.
We're 20 shows away from our 600th episode. Do y'all realize what that means? Like, seriously. 600 episodes. We've been, literally, we've done this show 600 times. 600 times.
Okay. So what you going to do, Brian?
I don't know, Pinky. we got to do something. We need to calculate what day that show is. So you go ahead and handle that, because you know me trying to do all that and at the same time it's gonna work out. But yeah, so just go 20 shows from today and work that out. But that's gonna be show 600. We gotta do it like huge, like ginormous, like big. I'm just saying.
Okay. We shall do the most.
That's what we do. So start. Look, let's start plotting out the most already.
I already
Amen.
Got it.
Amen. Good stuff. So just want to put it out there. I got excited when I was programming the show. I'm like, wait a minute, show 580. Wow. That's a lot of shows, y'all. In going on, about to hit year five. About to hit year five in April. Year five coming in April. My God. That's huge. So anyway, wanted to share that with you all. Thank you, Tony, for chiming in real quick. Appreciate you. That's just good stuff. Also, real quick, you guys know I mentioned the story about my classmate who is a pastor over here on the south side of Chicago, Pastor Antonio Rockamore. This story has only gotten bigger since I mentioned it, since we talked about it here on TTLO Radio, and the video has been shared. When we saw it originally, I believe when Natanya saw it, it was at 1,400 views, and when I 2,400 or something like that. And since then, it's now at over 100,000 views on one particular site. Now it is now hit the Christian blogs. You know, we get most of our articles from churchleaders.com. It's now on churchleaders.com. The whole story is on churchleaders.com. It's on ChristianityToday.com. It's on the ChristianPost.com. This thing has grown legs. It's a bit much. It's a bit much, y'all. And I reached out, my producer reached out to Pastor Antonio Rockamore from the Powerhouse Church. We're trying to coordinated time to get him on. He did his own live, which I thought he went into a lot of detail. There were a lot of there were some people, and people are rightly divided. They are upset that he asked this young man to leave. The young man has since did a video. He was on somebody else's live, some guy's live video from his room, from his living room or something, and he invited the young man in. You can invite people in to be on part of your broadcast, like their picture pops up. So I saw that video. The young man said that the pastor lied. He said the only person that spoke to him about his attire was the mother of the church and some stuff like that. He said that when the pastor said he gave him some money, he said it was only $100, but, you know, $100 and $100, I don't care who you are. But it seems real suspect, but I want to have the pastor here. So I did have his, I did reach out to him once the story broke, he said he was interested in coming on. After I saw the story break even further today, and again, I'm talking about, and if you didn't know the story, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail about it today, but Pastor Antonio Rockamore of the Powerhouse Church, I think it's located on 7040 Western, Southwestern, has a young man who was a member of his church, who came to church dressed in drag after being told that it was no longer acceptable for him to come to church, a man dressed as a woman. In the video, the pastor asked him to step out into the aisle and leave his church and go put on some man's clothes and come back with some man's clothes on. That's pretty much the what we saw on the video that went viral. And then after that, because people were so upset because they were wondering where was the grace, we later found out that according to the pastor and according to other members of the church, that this young man had been spoken to several times by both the pastor and the elders of the church, had at some point changed his attire. He had been coming in dressed as a man. But all of a sudden this past Sunday, this past Sunday, he decided to show up at the 8 o'clock service dressed in full drag, a man dressed like a woman, dressed in drag, and the pastor asked him to leave and go put on some men's clothes. So it blew up, and it is now a national thing. It is now a national story. Yeah, it's not just a local Chicago story anymore. It is a national story. And, a lot of people were disheartened by it. The pastor is backing everything up with scripture. And see, I'm one of those preachers that I don't argue with Bible. I don't debate Bible. Bible is clear. Men are not to wear women's clothes. It's very clear, right? And then there are rules to every church. Churches have particular dress codes. He said, part of his deal was he doesn't want the women in his church wearing leggings. Leggings are kind of like workout clothes. He doesn't want them wearing leggings to his church because some of them are see-through. Some of them are not made of really good material. You can pretty much see everybody's business with them on. Y'all see women in the street wearing leggings. You can see their drawers. You can see, yes, I said drawers. You can see their drawers. You can see whatever they're wearing out in the street. And he doesn't want the women in his church wearing this mess. He doesn't want them wearing that mess in his church. So that's one of the rules. And they adhere. When you go to some, look here, you adhere to what they are. I remember as In the early 2000s, I took the young people from my home church, Kingdom, somewhere to sing. And I'm not sure what type of church it was, but they came up to me and asked me, we don't allow the men in our church to wear earrings. Now, I'm going to tell you, I was very offended by it, right? I was very offended by it. But because I was there as a guest, and I was there with my kids from the church, I went ahead and I took my earrings off because I didn't want to act a fool in somebody else's church. I took my earrings off. Now, mind you, I didn't know anything about this, whatever. So, but trust me, when I left, I went and did my research because that's what I do. So there's nothing nowhere in God's Bible that says anything about men wearing earrings. So that's the issue for me. Like I said, I'm not gonna argue with people about what the Bible says, but if you don't tell me something that the Bible says and it ain't in there, I got a problem with that. But the Bible clearly does say men do not wear women's clothes and vice versa. The Bible clearly states that. Right? Exactly. Exactly. What's going on, y'all? Let me speak to some of the people in the room. Let me go back up. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm talking and running my mouth. Let me see. If I don't call your name, you got to speak to me again and say something so I can see that you are in the room. God bless you. Let me see here. Karen Miles, God bless you. Felicia LaShawn, God bless you. I see you. Courtney, what's up, Parks? Christina Martin, what's going on? Long time, long time. Bernice Johnson, what's going on, Bernice? One of the Ebenezer, one from the historic Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church. That's Sister Bernice Johnson. She's one of the choir members over here. Faithful, faithful. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for watching and listening. Look at God. Amen. But she's watching. My brother from Wilcox. What's going on? What's going on? Big Dre Park in the house. What's going on, man? What's going on? Love that big boy. That's my dude. Natalie Lewis, God bless you. I see you. Shiante Bulis, I see you. Come on, come on, come on. Did I miss anybody? Come on, let me pop. You got to pop on this on the feed. Let me see you. I see a bunch of numbers, but I don't see nobody saying nothing. I know some of y'all just come in and look, and you don't want to say nothing. That's fine. I ain't mad, you know. But, you know, it is nice to say hello to the people when you come in. I'm sorry if you spoke and I didn't see it. Let me go back and look. But amen. Okay, we good. But God bless y'all. Thank y'all so much for coming on in and watching and all that stuff. But anyway, I reached out to him. We exchanged emails and stuff again, and phone numbers. So I did text him today. And you know, something going on with Sprint and text messages, and I just want to say it's just text message period. Because stuff is like coming up delayed or late or whatever. So I'm sitting here, which is why I brought this up. I did text him, and apparently he responded to me at about 3:00 this afternoon, which I did not see. He responded, and he said, man, I'm so sorry I had to come back. I had to go out of town, but I'll be back on Sunday morning. We will pick a date and hook up then. So he will be on the show. Hopefully, prayerfully, we can get him in next week. Because I want to get him on, and I want to give him a fair interview. Y'all know I give fair interviews. I ain't trying to snag nobody in nothing. I ain't trying to put nobody in the middle of nothing. I want to give him a chance to ask. I want to be able to ask him some questions, give him a chance to respond live right here, not via and then you all can call in with your questions. I'm sure people are gonna call in, and I'm gonna say this now. I don't allow people to be disrespectful. To me, we don't get down like that. I'll let you speak your mind and ask your question, but we're not about being disrespectful to people. We don't get down that way. So I'm hoping that, you know, I'm gonna put it out there. I'm gonna put the disclaimer out there up front. Don't call in here with foolishness. When this brother is on, at the end of the day, he is a servant of the Lord. He is the shepherd of a house, and he is due the respect of his title. He is due the respect of his title. So I know we probably going to get bombarded with a whole lot of people from a bunch of different areas and folks who have never, ever watched or listened to this show before. I know how it goes when people want to be messy. And when people want to be messy, they try to bombard your stuff. And I'm going to tell you right now, this ain't that show. This ain't that show. So don't come. This ain't what you want. So I just want to put that out there. Early on, but he will be here. Pastor Antonio Rockamore will be in this studio sitting in this chair, and we're going to have a conversation. I want to learn more about his ministry, not just the controversy. You know, as with all preachers I have on my show, we learn about their ministry. We learn about what it is that they're doing, what they do in the community. You know, that's a big one for me. You know, how do you treat the community that your church is in? How long have you been preaching and pastoring and what are the issues that are at the top of your to-do list, you know, as far as your ministry goes. So all of those things are important to me, not just this little controversy, because this thing will blow over as all things do. But I want to have him here and give him a chance. I want to see what he's been doing. I haven't seen this brother in person probably in 20 years. Yeah, in 20 years. So probably more than that, 30 years, actually. Yeah, 30. So the last time I probably would have saw him would have been when I was 17, 18, or 19. So 30 years since I've seen this brother in the flesh. And I'm sorry, maybe I said more like 20, I think 28 years. Because he used to be a bouncer at some of the clubs I used to go to. But praise the Lord. I'm just happy to see him where he is, man. So I want to get him in the house to have that conversation with him about that thing. So again, stay tuned. We'll let y'all know. We'll put out the information. We'll do all of that to let you guys know exactly what day he'll be on the show. Preferably we can get him in next week. I'm going to have our producer doing what she does. I've talked to him, but I'm going to let her handle that and get him on in here. But, man, it's going to be a good conversation with him, right? Right. All right, so last thing before we jump into the article. I mentioned this real brief thing about the candidates running for mayor here in our city of Chicago. And we're reaching out to the candidates just to see who's in and who's out and all of that stuff. So I'm just gonna go down this ever increasing list of mayoral candidates, and it's just it's a lot. So here we go. I'm just gonna go down this list. This article that I'm reading is as of Friday. This is as of today. Chicago Sun-Times. Okay, so Chicago Sun-Times now says there are only 18 people left. There are 18 announced candidates so far. 18 announced candidates so far. So let me just go down this list. Let's see. Illinois Comptroller Susan Mendoza made her announcement official after weeks of speculation while she was on the midterm ballot. Wow. So she just won re-election for state comptroller, but now she is running for mayor. Susan Mendoza. Then after considering a rep bid, Mike Quigley, a Democrat from Illinois on Sunday, said he would not run, so he's out. It says, after some suspicion, Chance the Rapper will announce his candidacy. He instead threw his support behind Amara Enea. Amara Enea, that's the name. Amara Enea. She is a mayoral candidate. You haven't known anything much about her. She's a marathon runner, a multilingual activist. She's a daughter of Nigerian immigrants and a journalist turned lawyer. She's also the candidate for mayor on Tuesday who landed in with Chance the Rapper. She's 35 years old. She's 35 years old, and she's running for, to be mayor of the city of Chicago. So that's one that's out there. Let me grab the other ones. Any of these names, and again, I don't know many or any of these people. Three major figures jumped in the race. Bill Daley, that's the brother of Mayor Daley. Bill Daley, he's running. Y'all know him. He's running for mayor. Is he really? Rock Walls, really? Really? He need to go sit down. I don't mean no harm. Doc Walls, just, bruh, no. I mean, we talk about Glenn, is it William Doc Walls? Right. Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you, Anika. God bless you. Thank you for watching, Anika. I see some new names popped up. Billy Duvalier, my God. Eighth grade. St. John Lutheran. My goodness. Woo, y'all coming out the woodwork tonight. And Wilma Black. What is that? Wilma Blackdoll, is that the name? God bless you, sir. God bless you. Thank you for watching. So let's go a little further. Bill Daley, he's in. Cook County President Tony Prepwinkle, I'm sorry. You lost me with the sugar tax, baby girl. You need to go and stay Cook County President while you can, because you lost me with the sugar tax. Matter of fact, I didn't even vote for you to be Cook County President. Yeah, I wrote my own name in. But she's running. Jerry Chico, former Chicago Public School board president, he's running. Y'all remember Gary Chico? Y'all remember him? Let's see here. Who else is in here? Oh, yeah. Here we go. Gary, what's the former police commissioner? He's running. Here we go. Dorothy Brown, the clerk of Circuit Court of Cook County. Dorothy Brown, she's running, right? Oh, Anika Clayton says, I'm a strong supporter as he is my father. Okay, well, you know what? Let's do it like this because I'm a fair brother. I'm a fair brother. I invite any and everybody on the show. Does he want to come on? Can you, since he's your pops, can you talk to him? I'll give him a platform. I want to know. I'll give him a few minutes, but we have to be equal time. I know how they do the whole political piece, so we have to give all the candidates equal time. We'll give him some time. He can come on, come right into the studio. We don't like phone call interviews, so you can come sit right here. Because I just want to know, like, all these people are running for mayor. Like, what are you bringing? Because I know this is not his first time running. So we can work that out. We can absolutely work that out. We can absolutely work that out. If he wants to come on, Anika, do me a favor. Message, inbox me some good contact information to the Taking the Limits Off page. You can inbox me. My producer will get that information, and I don't have a problem with having him in. And if we can get him in with another candidate, that would be wonderful. You know, I'm all about community. So if he's willing to come on, absolutely, we would do that. So Latanya, do me a favor. If you're on a Facebook Live, Latanya Melton is my producer. Anika Clayton says she's the daughter of William Dot Walls, who's one of the he's a part of the plethora of candidates running for mayor here in the city of Chicago. But God bless you. Thank you, Anika. But yeah, come on, we have them all. But Dorothy Brown is running. Y'all know her. Jerry Chico, former Bill Daley, Amara Ania. Let me see here. Jamal Green, he's an activist in Chicago's Black Lives Matter movement. Jamal Green, he's running. Let's see. Jerry Joyce. That's a former assistant state's attorney and son of a clout-heavy Chicago politician. Okay. William Kelly, he's a television producer. He's running. Let's see. John Kosler, he's a two-time aldermanic candidate. He tried to be alderman twice in the 11th ward and lost. But he's running. Lori Lightfoot, how does that name sound familiar? Lori Lightfoot, she's the former president of Chicago Police Board and former U.S. attorney. She's running. Y'all know Gary McCarthy, the former police commissioner. He's running. Gary McCarthy, you can go sit down, bro. Now, if you want to come on, he can come on too. We're going to reach out to all these people. We're going to see what we can do. Y'all know I don't care. We can come on and do that. But yeah, Gary McCarthy. He's running, former police commissioner. Yeah, you know, but you was part of the cover up. We don't want you. You was part of the cover up. Susan Mendoza, she's the Illinois controller. You know, she's responsible for the checks, for the state. That's what she do. Yeah, we know her. Tony Pretwinkle. Yeah, whatever. LaShawn Ford. Now I like LaShawn Ford. That's just Dana though. I ain't speaking on behalf of TTLO. I'm speaking on behalf of Dana. I kind of like LaShawn Ford. I was hoping he would have put his bid in a couple years ago. But, you know, I like LaShawn. LaShawn doesn't mind going out into the community. LaShawn has been out on the corner with us a couple times out in the Austin area because Austin is part of his state rep. It's part of his district. He's active in the community, and he knows what's needed in some of these dilapidated minority communities in our city. And one of the things that I know LaShawn is really interested in doing is making sure that all these monies that are coming into the city, that they hit the south and the west side. Mainly, let me say it the right way. I know I'm on the south side now because my studio is over here in the lovely Bronze Building. I'm grateful for it. Please don't take it the wrong way. Where are my glasses? My glasses is right here, but I don't need my glasses to read, Shantae Julie. Bless your heart, sister. but he's running. But I know he would make sure that money made it to the west and the south sides of Chicago, especially in the areas that are needed. So LaShawn Ford, he's running. Neil Sales Griffin, never heard of him. He's a 30-year-old entrepreneur. Let's see, he's backed by a new political group called the United Chicago Pact. whose chairman is Max Temkin, a co-creator of the Cards Against Humanity. Okay, all right. Paul Vallis, oh, y'all remember Paul Vallis. He was the former CEO of CPS and former lieutenant governor candidate in 2014. Paul Vallis, y'all remember him. He oversaw the school districts. Y'all remember Paul Vallis, yeah. Dr. Willie Wilson, businessman. Y'all remember Willie Wilson, when Wilson donated $100,000 to his mayoral candidate in April, he lifted the cap for all candidates. Since then, he's taken the heat for handing out money, giving the appearances he's buying votes. He says, I keep money just to give it out. That's what Willie Wilson said. So he's running. Y'all know Willie. He's running for mayor. William Doc Walls. Here's the info. Okay, let me see what it says. William Doc Walls. He's a former city official. This is his fourth run for mayor. He's also run for Congress and city clerk. Also run for Congress and city clerk. He filed to run for governor this year as independent candidate, but lost the challenge to his nominating, petitions. There we go. This is his quote. He says, without equivalence, I'm the best candidate for the office, arguing that he's better prepared than any other candidate. They have no clue what's needed. Those were his words. Another runner, Troy, I cannot pronounce his last name, Troy LaRivière. He's the president of Chicago Principals and Administrators. Okay, okay. All right, y'all. Okay, so some of my CPS people, y'all can help me out with this brother because y'all can help me with this guy. President of Chicago Principals and Administrators Association. He's a former CPS principal. He was one of the first candidates to enter the race before Rahm Emanuel dropped his third-term bid, but stepped aside after coming short. Also, he's not running. Oh, he's not running. I'm sorry. Not running. Bob Fioretti, he's the former author of the Second Ward. Y'all know him. Let's see. Potential candidate, Leslie Harrison. She's the author of the Fifth Ward. I just saw her yesterday. I actually saw her this morning. They were doing the celebration on the South Side. She's supposed to be running. Raymond Lopez, he's another potential candidate. Proco Joe Moreno, another potential candidate. Ricardo Munoz. Yeah, that's how you say that. Ricardo Munoz, he's running. Maria Pappas, she's considering a run. Michael Sachs. Roderick Sawyer, he's considering a run. Kirk Summers. Oh, no, these people are not running. He's not running. Tony Tunney is considering a run. Let's see. Burnett, oh, he pulled out. Not surprised. Let's see. Anybody else? Did I miss anybody? So these are all the candidates that's actually on the ballot. So all these other people that supposedly running, y'all ain't really running, huh? Because I see a bunch of names that was missing from that list that the Sun-Times has. And I'm assuming the Sun-Times is only counting real candidates and not the ones who are just running in their head. I'm going to say that again. I'm assuming the Sun-Times is only counting the real candidates and not the ones that are running in their head. Because some people are just running in their heads, in their minds, they're running. In their minds. Amen. Hey, y'all, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to spend this last good 30 minutes talking about this great article. That's what we're going to do. We're going to spend this last few minutes talking about this great, great article. Simply says this, why feckless workers, look out for feckless worship leaders. You want to look out for feckless worship leaders. That's going to be the topic of the conversation. We're going to jump right into that. Y'all stay blessed, man. We'll be right back. T-T-L-O. What are we going to play? Let me see. You know what? We ain't played this in a little while, man. Can we get a little Molly music? Do a little something different. Yeah, let's do that.
All the glory belongs to you.
Yeah.
All the glory belongs to you, oh God. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. Yeah. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. Yeah. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. Yeah.
Feckless worship leaders love leading worship musically, but don't have the resolve to do the heavy lifting biblically, theologically, relationally, and even physically. Okay. Consequently, they depend solely on their love for playing and singing on the platform and disregard diligence off the platform. What does that mean? Y'all know I'm real good at making it real plain for y'all, so I don't want nobody to get mad. Real quick, if you have not hit the share button, please do so. Please do so. Help your boy out. If you have not hit the share button, and I can see when y'all hit the share button, just in case y'all didn't know, I can see when you hit the share button, and I ain't seen not a nary share yet. Oh, wait a minute. I just opened. Let me see. Some of these shares are mine. Okay, Parks and oh, in-house. LaTanya and Parks. Y'all ain't hitting the share button. Yeah, y'all let your boy down. Yeah, y'all do me. Y'all hit the share button real quick and tell your people you're watching, unless you're just trying to be standing and safe all for yourself. But anyway, let me get back to this article. So the writer goes on to say, they don't want to do the heavy lifting, right? Consequently, they depend solely on their love for playing and singing on the platform, and they disregard the diligence off the platform. Yes. Thomas Edison said it like this. People don't work hard because in their conceit, they imagine they'll succeed without ever making the effort. Oh, let me read that again. People don't work hard because in their conceit, they imagine they'll succeed without ever making the effort. Most people believe that they'll wake up someday and find themselves successful. Crazy is all outdoors. Actually, they've got half of it right, because eventually they do wake up. This guy, Wilson Misner, said, work, work, work. The gent who wakes up and finds himself a success hasn't been asleep. So love your your love for leading may help you get that worship job, but hard work is going to help you keep it. Oh, let me help somebody. A lot of people want the job. A lot of people want the title. And I know this is talking about worship leader, but this is talking about leadership, period. You can't want the leadership title and you don't want the work. I can only speak for me. I've been here at the historic Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church on assignment since March of this year, right? When I got here in March, I was here with two other gentlemen who were helping lead their service on Sunday, do the teaching, do the hospital visiting, do the teaching on Sunday, the preaching and the praying on Sunday, the baptism, the communion, the teaching on Wednesdays and the teaching on Thursday. It was a three-man team, and we divided all of those things up amongst the three of us, right? Okay, great. Fast forward to the end of May, and I've been here alone doing all of the things that I just mentioned by myself. So I understand you can want to be something all day long. The title sounds great, but the job itself is different. Y'all gonna help me. The title is that, you know, oh, I'm Dr. So-and-so, I'm Pastor So-and-so, I'm Apostle So-and-so, I'm Prophet this and all of that. But the job itself is a lot of work, and that's where the real job is. Because truth be told, you get up there and preach, and you know if you're real good with words, if you're great at pontificating, you can get up and preach a good sermon and all that good stuff. But the real work is before church. The real work is after church. The real work is in the middle of the week when you get a phone call that somebody's in the hospital, or you got to go do a hospital visit, or you got to pray for folks, or you got to break up a fight, or you got to stop an argument, or you have to stop some controversy. That's the real work. That's not including evangelizing. That's not including being at community events. That's not including reaching and teaching. You see what I'm saying? That's the real work. But you're talking about you want to be somebody's pastor. You want to lead somebody's worship team. You want them to pay you all this money, but you're not doing the actual work. So am I. Very good mentors told me a long time ago that preaching and pastoring is two different things. It really is. It really is. And singing and leading worship is two different things. Being a worship leader ain't just about singing. Oh, I'm going to help somebody. Being a worship leader ain't just about singing. It's so much more to it than that. So here we go. Symptoms of a feckless worship leader. I don't know if Tanya, if you're able to pop some of these in here or not, but we're gonna go for it either way. All right, symptoms of a feckless worship leader. Here we go. The first one says, the writer says, they spend more time searching files for previously used worship service orders than it would have taken them the time to create new ones. Mm. They spend more time searching to try to find something they've already done than to sit down and spend some time with the Lord to give them something new to do. Hmm. Yeah. The next one says, their song sets are determined exclusively by scanning the top 100, what's hot on the praise chart or the hymnal. See, here's the deal. Just because a song, let me help you, just because a song is hot on the radio, that doesn't mean it's going to translate to your church. Y'all don't, somebody just missed that. Just because it's hot, just because Tasha Cobb sing it real good and you like the song, that don't mean your church is going to flow in your church. That's why you have to take the time, again, one of my favorite statements of all time, know your audience. Know your audience. Know who you're dealing with. Know the type of congregation that you're dealing with. Hmm. Let's go. The next one says, they aren't willing to communicate in newer and older languages of chord charts and choir scores or hymns and modern songs, even when the culture of their congregation calls for it. That's the key word, culture of your congregation. Until the culture of your congregation changes, you are not able to just come in and start singing all this new stuff just because they're playing it on the radio. I see a lot of people that popped in. Y'all, please say something to me. Let me know y'all popped in, because otherwise I won't see your name. It'll be scrolled up and I'll be missed it on my screen. Amen. I see you, Daniel Gary. God bless you, sir. God bless you, man. Bless you. Hope you and the rest of the fellas are doing well over at the Spirit Redeemed Church. Huh? You right around the corner from me now, man. I won't know why you ain't been here yet. You right around the corner from me. You ain't that far from me now. Look, and we ain't got no staff. And we ain't got no staff for you to climb on, man. We ain't got no staff for you to climb up. Now, what's your excuse, man? Get on over here. You know where we at. Make your way on through. He said, my mic is a little hot, or it's a little too hot. Is it breaking up? A little loud? Thank you, sir. Appreciate you. Let me listen to that and see that. Check that out. Tanya, check that Facebook feed for me, please. Thank you. So again, you got to know your congregation. You just can't be singing songs just because you heard them on the radio. Oh, okay. Yeah, you just because a song translates well on the radio, it doesn't mean it's going to translate well at your church. Doesn't mean that at all. Know the culture of your congregation. Know who you're dealing with. Daniel Garrett says, are we getting ready to feed the community on tomorrow? Hey, man, hey, shoot me the info. You got a flyer or something? Inbox me the flyer so I can read the info before I get off the air. Please do that. Please do that for me, because there's people looking for places to go. So please inbox me that flyer before we get off the air so I can read the info. The next one says this. It says they spend Monday. Yeah, uh-huh. They spend Monday through Thursday pondering their creativity, but then have to scramble on Friday morning to actually harness it to a worship service for Sunday. Scrambling is never a good idea. You don't have to scramble for worship when you've been in worship with God all week long. You ain't gotta scramble when you've been talking to God all week. Right? When you've been seeking God and you've been seeking his face, you ain't got to scramble for worship on Sunday. You ain't got to stand up and be standing there and come in and talk about what we gonna sing, y'all. What we finna sing, y'all? You ain't got to do that when you've been in the face of God all week. Because see, when you're in a leadership position, especially worship and pastoring and preaching and all that, and you have to stand before God's people, you need to stay in God's face and say, God, what do you want? What is it that you want me to say to these people this week? What is it that you want me to sing to these people this week? If you're responsible for praying for the whole church, God, what do you want me to pray? What do you want me to say to you, God? Give me insight to what from you through me. That's what happens. My God, my God. Let's keep going, let's keep going, let's keep going. We got about 14 minutes left. We in good shape, we in good shape. Here we go. He says, the writer says, they imitate the worship sounds, habits, methods, styles, presentations, and even attire of other artists or congregations without considering the unique voice of their own congregation. See, that's important. You can't mimic. Let me help you like this. Could you imagine coming to a traditional Baptist church doing what Ty Tribbett does? And I love Ty Tribbett. I love Ty Tribbett. But Ty Tribbett's form of worship does not translate in everybody's church. Y'all gonna act like y'all don't hear me. Y'all just gonna sit here and y'all know that's okay. That's okay. Amen. Amen. Cheers. Yeah, but Ty, I love Ty Tribbett. I do. But his form of worship style, his worship style will not fit in some churches. That's just the truth. Huh? That's just the truth. So you have to pay attention to, you have to find your unique voice inside the congregation that the Lord has put you over in a serving in position to serve. Don't get me wrong, that doesn't mean you got to sing hymns all day but what it does mean is you have to pay attention to what works. You got to pay attention to what works in your church. And not just come be this old whatever we can throw together at the last minute and we going to sing there. If they don't like it, oh well, too bad, so sad for them. We can do better than that. Can't we? I would hope so. I would hope so. Let's keep going. The writer goes on to say, he says they don't see the need to attend conferences, read books, take additional lessons, or dialogue with other worship leaders. See, those are the type of people you don't want. You don't need those people in a leadership position. I don't need nobody that says I don't need to go to nobody's conference. Think about this, even from a pastor standpoint, from a preacher standpoint, I don't care if you're a pastor or an associate minister. I don't care if you're a deacon, if you're a trustee. If you're one of these people who say, I don't need to go to nobody's conference, then what you're saying is you don't need to learn anything else. When you say you don't need to go and attend any workshops, how are you a musician and you don't go to nobody's workshop? But you're a musician. I would have a problem with you as my worship leader, and I know some well-known musicians, especially even if they're local and they're doing musical workshops. I would make, now whether we had a budget for it or not, it would be part of the part. You know, I need you to go. Now we'll help you get there. We probably can't pay for it all, but I need you to go. You need to be at this workshop. Because watch this, because based on what I hear on Sunday, that tells me you need to be at this workshop. You don't read anybody's books. I only need the Bible. That's all I need, man. That's all I need to preach. That's all I need is the Bible. I don't need nobody help me guide to doing this. So you don't need none of that. But your writing style sucks. You can't put a sentence together. But you don't need to read nobody's book. You don't need to read one of the best books I was ever given. My mentor, Dr. Gerald Duke, he's the pastor of the Antioch Missionary Baptist Church, gave me this book. It just left my mind just that quick. The Art of Black Preaching. The Art of Black Preaching. One of the best books I ever read since I've been preaching. Amazing book. Amazing book. But if I was to say, I don't need that, I'm good. I'm just going to mimic so-and-so. I'm just going to mimic him. Or I'm going to mimic this. No, that don't work, man. That doesn't work. You have to be willing to go out and glean from other people and other materials. I'm not saying don't use the Bible. Absolutely. The Bible is your foundation. But there are a lot of books that are biblically based that might give you some insight into how to lead, and by you saying you don't need it, that's why I don't understand people who are in positions of leadership but they don't go to nobody for advice, or they stick to their circle for advice. You know, I'm only gonna talk to people that's inside of my jurisdiction. That's a part of our covenant. I can't talk to nobody that's outside of my covenant because they might lead me astray. No, man. You know how many preacher friends I have that are not part of the North Wood River District? A lot. A lot. But you can't isolate yourself to learning this one style. Where is the growth in that? Right? Think about it from this aspect. You know, I was just joking around with you all about Thanksgiving coming up, my favorite holiday in the whole wide world, my favorite holiday. My mama was on here. She could answer my question about cooking. Is she cooking for Thanksgiving? But she didn't say nothing. But you know, there are different styles. There are different ways to cook. You know, yeah. Baking a turkey in the oven is traditional. And I love a baked turkey, a roasted turkey in the oven. I do. But guess what? There is a huge contingent of people that love a deep fried turkey. That don't make them wrong. It does not make them wrong because they prefer it deep fried. No more than it makes it wrong that you're a praise and worshiper and you prefer him. It doesn't make it wrong, but you should be able to be flexible enough. Come on now. You should be flexible enough to be able to do all things. You should be flexible enough. That's okay. I ain't going to get a thumb up or a heart. Y'all just sit there. It's all right, because I'm almost through. Amen. Oh, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's finish this out. The writer goes on to say this. He says, they don't take the time. Okay, this is good. They don't take the time to invest in the lives and the ministry of young leaders or train those who will come behind them. That's a problem. That's a problem. You pastoring for 25, 30 years, and then now you done got old, and then you haven't taken the time to train nobody, right? You ain't took the time to train nobody. And now because you haven't took the time to train nobody, here you about to sit down or die out and then gonna leave your church in turmoil. Because you were too selfish to train somebody. The late Dr. Miles Monroe said it best like this. He said, the worst thing that us senior leaders can ever do is that we die without ever have passed the baton, without ever having passed the baton. That's the worst thing, he says, in the church that leaders have done is they went to the grave holding on to all of the information that could have helped the next young leader proceed further than where they went. But because there's this thing called jealousy and envy in the church, you have nobody preparing the next group of people to lead. Because I don't want them to go further than where I'm at. I don't want them to surpass me. I want this church to always remember my name. I want my name or my daddy's name or whose ever name to always be the name that rings true at the church. So I ain't going to train nobody. You know how crazy that is? That's such a selfish way to be. To hold on to information and feel like because you're holding on to it, you're doing God a favor. The writer closes the article out with this. He says, so much attention is paid to the aggressive sins, such as violence and cruelty and greed with all their tragic effects, and too little attention is paid to the passive sins, such as apathy, laziness, which in the long run can have a more devastating effect. Eleanor Roosevelt said that. Wow. She says, we pay so much attention to the aggressive and egregious sins that we forget the ones about being lazy and passive and apathetic. Because those things, there's nothing worse than a passive-aggressive person. Passive-aggressive leadership is the worst. And watch this, you're doing your team no good by being passive-aggressive. It is the worst. I know churches that to this day are still suffering because they sat under or sat under or are currently sitting under passive aggressive leadership. Too afraid to confront an issue. You're hoping that the people quit instead of you just confronting them saying, hey, I don't like the way this is currently being handled. What can you and I do to make it better? That's real leadership. Real leadership is saying, you know what? This department in the church could use some work. And I see that you've been here for quite a while. So I want to give you the chance or the opportunity to make this better. So how can I assist you in this matter? What can I do? How can I empower you? What do you need from me as the leader? That's leadership. It ain't a peeing contest. It ain't no fight, ain't no backbite, ain't no hiding, ain't none of that. But that's real leadership. But unfortunately, you have a lot of people who are in who hold pastoral positions who have never been in a leadership position where they had to lead men and women. Let me make sure I say that. Where they had to lead men and women. Because as quiet as it's kept, leading children ain't like leading men and women. I'm going to help somebody. There is a difference. I think if we had people who weren't, again, the article used this word, feckless leadership. Again, if you have people who don't really understand what that means, you know, there's nothing worse than an irresponsible leader. There's nothing worse than an incompetent leader, an inept leader, a leader who's just happy to have the title and hoping for the money and also hoping for the money. There's nothing worse than that. Because when that person does finally leave on his own volition or because he or she is exposed, they're going to leave a trail of destruction behind them. And that's not good for anybody, especially in the house of the Lord. Amen, amen. Y'all, look, I had a good time today. This was great. I love this article. It might have been a little deep for y'all, but hey, this was good for me. This was good for me. Some stuff needs to be pointed out, but I want to share real quick with you. Thank you, Bishop Garrett over there at the Spirit Redeemed Church. He says, you're invited to Thanksgiving dinner. This is going to be tomorrow from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. at the Spirit Redeemed Church. It says the Lead and Feed Project, Feeding the Community. Spirit Redeemed Church is located at 6615 Ashland Avenue, 6615 South Ashland Avenue. Daniel Garrett is the pastor over there. Y'all know he's been on the show. When Shepherds Worship, the crew was here. They were here, him and Brother Fred Wilson, Brother Russell Harris, and help me out with the last brother's name. God, I'm sorry, I can't remember his name right now. Y'all forgive me. But they were here on the show a couple of weeks ago. But absolutely, we enjoyed having him. But again, y'all, don't miss it. I got a few minutes left. Don't miss it. It's this Saturday, tomorrow, from 3 to 6, Lead and Feed the Community, Spirit Redeemed Church. My brother Daniel Garrett is the pastor. The address again, 6615 South Ashland Avenue. You all come, go out there. I'm sure they're going to have a good spread. If you know somebody, man, who may not have a place to go for Thanksgiving, definitely check them out. That's going to be a good place for you to go. There's going to be quite a few places, too, that are doing some feedings between now and Thanksgiving Day. If you have those, if you want me to share your information, please send it to me. Y'all know we share everybody's info, especially if you're doing something for the community. We don't, you know, some radio shows and stations, they charge you for advertising your programs, all that. We don't do that. That ain't what we do. If you're doing something for the community, why would we ask for some money for that? That's crazy. That's insane. That's asinine. So we're not going to do that. I don't know, Dre, if it's by the green line. I've been to the church before, but I don't know if it's by the green line. I can't remember. You know, I'm still getting used to this South Side stuff. So I don't know. if that's where that is. But the address again is 66, let me read it again, 6615 South Ashland Avenue. Again, that's the Spirit Redeemed Church. They're doing Lead and Feed Thanksgiving Day tomorrow between 3 and 6. If you know somebody, go check it out. We're going to put this up on our Facebook page, on the DTLO Facebook page. So feel free to come in and partake and do that thing, man. We're looking forward to being out there and having looking forward to you guys coming out and spending some time. Go over there. He's a good guy. And like I said, if you know people that are doing some programs, some feedings for Thanksgiving, especially for families who are not able to go and don't have the means to have a good Thanksgiving dinner, please send me the info. We don't have a problem with sharing. We'll put it out. We'll use all of our social media platforms to help spread that word, man. It ain't about people coming to join your church. It's just about helping people. So we're looking to help those people out. God bless you, those of you who popped in late. Elder Marcus Treadwell, God bless you, sir. Marcus Treadwell III, Samuel C. Hunter, and Kathleen Sabon down in Georgia. God bless you, sweetheart. Bless you. Bless you. Oh, he says 3 blocks from the Green Line. Okay, Big Dre, no. Man, what you know about the South Side? You on the West Side with me all your black life. How you know about the South? What you know about the South Side? Huh? What you know about it? Anyway, man, God bless y'all. It's been a great day. Let's pray real quick, y'all. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for your mercy and for your grace, God. We just thank you, God, for allowing this radio station, God, to continue to do what it does, God, because at the end of the day, we're only about glorifying you and drawing people to you, God. So for that, we say thank you and hallelujah. God, we just thank you, God, for just being who you are in our lives, God. We thank you for keeping your arms and protection around us, God. We just thank you, God, for just doing what you do, God, because we know that as long as we're in your will, God, we're going to be okay. Amen, God. We thank you, God, for all of these listeners, God, for all of the watchers on Facebook, the listeners on Blog Talk Radio, God, the ones who are listening via phone, via the app, via the device, via whatever it is, God. Yes, we touch every home right now, God. Protect them, God, in this special city we call Chicago, God. Continue to give them your grace and your mercy, God. Give them insight and vision into who you are, God. And then direct them, God, so that they may walk in their purpose, God, and not in somebody else. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look, y'all, I got to go. It's been a wonderful day, man. Y'all have a great weekend. Remember, look, for those of you who got tickets for the EP release tomorrow, I will be there. I'll be running straight from the bowling alley. So y'all pray for me. That means I can't come suited up like I want. Y'all know I like to come suited up for you, man. But I got a bowl tomorrow, so I'm running straight from the bowling alley over to this church tomorrow. So but anyway, y'all stay blessed, man. I gotta go. Y'all be blessed. L-O. We out here.
With your hands lifted up, say it like this. Take the limits off.
Thank you.